The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Looking forward to catching up with Kenny Albert, who coming off a marathon run and has a great new challenge ahead of him. We'll get into that in just a little bit. Darren Millard along with John Shannon. But we got some news on a couple of different fronts to do with the Stanley Cup champions and also the President's Trophy winners. You want to start with Winnipeg, John?
Yeah, we might as well. We might as well do that. Jonathan Toews, who is a Winnipeg native, is going to sign a one-year deal with the Jets to play next season in the Manitoba Capital. So Kevin Cheveldayoff gets his first signing done before free agency can actually occur. Now they can do it because Toews is one of those guys that has been an unrestricted free agent for a while.
So he could sign right now, right? I know he's going to sign when free agency starts, but he couldn't sign right now. Do you think he takes an opportunity to go visit that lake that's named after Jonathan Toews in northern Manitoba?
Only people from Manitoba know about the lake in northern Manitoba that's named after Jonathan Toews. Okay, there's a Shannon Lake 60 miles from my house that I never go to, so.
Is that named after John Shannon?
No.
Okay. No. What's the impact of Jonathan Toews on the Jets?
So I think you have to be pragmatic about this. First of all, Adam Lowry, with the hip surgery he's done, will not be available to the Jets until November. So that helps. The other thing is that they lost their number four center, Rasmus Kupari, who signed in Switzerland already. So they did, in fact, need another centerman, particularly in the short term. And it's a one-year contract. This is almost like a first date, in my mind, between the hockey club and Toews. There's no guarantee that Jonathan can play at that level anymore. When you consider the time off that he's had, the illnesses that he's had to overcome, it's been pretty well known for 6 months that he wanted to come back. To me, this was an obvious choice. Come back, play for the Jets. The Jets are a really good team. It's a good chance to play for a winner. And he can fit in. And what it does speak to is that, you know, this is a team that has really changed the culture in Winnipeg. And Jonathan Toews can only help that culture improve.
It's kind of like a first date with your old first love again, in a way. Like, it's got to be a thrill for him going back to his hometown after everything that he's been through.
I would suspect so.
Yeah.
And let's face it, there has always been even when the Blackhawks were so good, there has always been a look of envy from Winnipeg. Man, if Jonathan Toews could ever play for the Jets. You know, he's one of ours. He's one of us. And he's raising the Stanley Cup three times in 6 years. So from that perspective, there is some synergy between Winnipeg and Chicago, Toews and Winnipeg. And, you know, I know that this is a real stretch, but when you consider that Bobby Hull went from the Blackhawks to the Jets, Jonathan Toews has gone from the Blackhawks to the Jets.
9-9. Bobby Hull got number 9 in Winnipeg. David Gustafson has number 19 in Winnipeg right now.
Well, I'm not sure we're worried about that yet.
Okay. Sam Bennett made an impromptu announcement. Not exactly well, under the party radar, continues, but
yeah. As the party continues in South Florida, Sam announced in the early hours of the day that I'm not effing leaving. So, which put the crowd at the bar they were at in a frenzy for a little while. But though there is no contract yet, but there could be. But I'm sure that Bill Zito was happy to hear that. I'm sure Bill Zito and Darren Ferris have had a few talks already of what's going to happen. And, you know, the challenge of trying to keep the core of this group together, when you think of Bennett, Ekblad, Marchand being the three challenges, it's going to be interesting to see what happens in the next few days or few weeks.
A four-word sentence from Sam Bennett is droning on and on and on. That's a lot for Sam.
Well, he actually admitted that he doesn't talk very much, but I have one thing to say. And then the crowd died down, and then he yelled into the microphone, "I'm not effing leaving."
You surprised?
No, not at all.
I thought he would test it, the free agency.
I think this speaks to what they have created as a group, as a culture in South Florida. And I think it's driven by the players. You know, there's a great story that the year before Matthew Tkachuk got traded to South Florida, Bennett had been traded. And the Flames had 2 days off. And Bennett and Tkachuk went for a couple of days to enjoy each other's friendship and company. And Sam told Matthew how great it was and that this was a great place to play, a great place to live. And I think that cemented a lot of stuff for Matthew to tell the Flames, "I'm not re-signing and I want you to send me to Florida." I think Sam Bennett had a lot to play in that decision way back when. And I think that what you see when you see Sasha Barkov, when you see Bennett, when you see Reinhardt, when you see Tkachuk, when you see Aaron Ekblad, Ekblad's the next domino in all of this. They have a group that wants to play the game and live together. They talk, you know, they talked about during the Stanley Cup playoffs, and you know the bubble that people live in during the playoffs. These guys had dinner together almost every night. It's phenomenal to think about that the chemistry that they have built. It is truly an unbelievable culture. And if you're in love with the game and you like winning, why would you want to leave there if you think you can get close to the same money? Or do they come to the realization, "I have enough," or "I will get enough from the Florida Panthers"?
That's what we need. We need more dinners together to just improve our chemistry.
We're going to have dinner. We'll have dinner together in July.
All right. Soto. You're buying.
No. We're not going to. No. We'll do it on your plantation in Charlottetown or in Prince Edward Island. So.
Oh, I got a couple of good ones there. Guy that knows team dinners is standing by. The lights on. Kenny Albert standing by. We'll get to his experiences in the Stanley Cup final, second time in 3 years with TNT. And what is ahead? There's a significant change in his workload coming up. It's all ahead on 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall. With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
It's wild. He's gone for like 3.5 years, and then he spends time with us a day and a half after the Stanley Cup final. Kenny, what's going on?
Well, great to be with you guys as always. And, you know, we could have been in Edmonton tonight for a game 7.
Yes.
So have been home for a couple of days. so much fun to be a part of this series. Three of the first four games were unbelievable. And you're right, Darren, now a little bit of rest time at home.
As a play-by-play person, what's your favorite part of calling a championship?
Wow, that's a great question. I think there are so many favorite parts. You know, first of all, the preparation, the anticipation, the excitement, getting ready for the series. And we came off the Eastern Conference Finals, so our crew had done actually seven consecutive Florida Panthers games, the last two against the Maple Leafs, and then all five against Carolina. So you feel like you know that team, you know, as well as anybody. And then Edmonton, we were watching from afar, hadn't worked any of their games during the playoffs this year. We did have the Western Conference Final last year against Dallas. So you play a little bit of catch up on the other team and then go to media day and listen to the interviews and talk to people. And then, you know, once game one hits, you're ready to roll. And, you know, there was such an excitement level in Edmonton for those first two games. The atmosphere in the arena is so tremendous, as it is in Florida as well. But, you know, to start this series in Edmonton, you know, we had a great group dinner the night before with our entire NHL on TNT crew, both the game crew and the studio crew. And we don't get to see them a lot during the season. And I'm talking about Liam McHugh, Anson Carter, Paul Bissonnette, Henrik Lundqvist, and Wayne Gretzky. They're usually in Atlanta, and we're out at the game site. We did see them at the Winter Classic, but now you're together for 2 weeks. So the off days are a lot of fun. You know, a lot of meals together, some pool time down in Florida. And then you add Darren Pang to the mix as well, who joined our crew for the finals. So such great memories, not only of the games, but of some of the off days and the lunches and dinners and the flights that we all had together. But again, getting back to the series, you know, game one, Florida takes a 3-1 lead. Edmonton comes back. Drysdale wins it in overtime. And then game two, you know, just the amount of goals that were scored over those first two games, the excitement, the comebacks, the late goals, Corey Perry in game two, and then the Panthers with the late goal, Reinhart in game four. You know, it's crazy. I know you're both historians of the game, but, you know, we saw so many things happen in this series that had either never happened in a Stanley Cup final or hadn't happened in a long, long time. I mean, to have the two latest tying goals in the history of the Cup final, not one, but two, with Perry and Reinhart. And then both of their teams subsequently lost in overtime in those games. and then, you know, the scoring prowess of Marchand and Bennett and Reinhart. You know, I know two of them are empty netters, but to score four goals in a clinching game, something that hadn't been done since 1922. You know, again, the last two games, certainly not as exciting, you know, from an overall standpoint as three of the first four were, but the Panthers pretty much put on a clinic in those two games, and you have to give them so much credit. But, you know, when you look back at the fact that there were the three overtime games, there have only been more than three once, and that was back in 1951. Some of the records that were either set or matched, just such a fun series to be a part of.
Okay, never mind the hockey. I want to talk about the dinner. So you've got everybody there. You're at one of the great Italian restaurants in Edmonton, Sorrentino's. And first of all, we know that Wayne loves team dinners. It's one of the things that I think he would tell you that he misses from not playing anymore. But I want to know who spoke more at the dinner, Wayne or Paul Bissonnette?
Biz, I don't think, was at the entirety of that dinner. I think he showed up for a portion of it. But when you have, and the dinner you're talking about was the night before game one at Sorrentino's. Correct. In when you have Wayne Gretzky.
By the way, if we say Sorrentino six times, we get a free meal, I think. So
Sorrentino's.
I think we may have gotten one without saying it six times. thanks to a gentleman named Aldo, who I've gotten to know over the last few years and was kind enough to pick up that dinner specifically. But when you have Wayne Gretzky, Henrik Lundqvist, and then Paul Coffey in the same room,
right?
you just sit back and listen. And I think it was the first time Henrik and Paul had met. So that was cool just to observe that
really?
Dynamic. I think that, yeah. I was there when they introduced themselves to one another. So you have three Hall of Famers right there. And you guys know what it's like when Wayne starts telling stories and Paul chimes in as well. And, you know, there were several, there were a couple of pool days in Florida where we had lunch and Wayne was on hand and Henrik and Darren Pang and Brian Boucher and Eddie Olczyk. And the stories are just incredible. To be on a fly on the wall, to listen to those guys. And, you know, John, you referenced Wayne specifically, and this was now the third year out of the last four that the studio crew, including Wayne, has traveled during the playoffs. It was the conference final, Colorado and Edmonton in 2022. And Rick Tocchet was part of that crew, Keith Jones. So we had, you know, a couple of the names changed as we move along with, Jonesy obviously now running the Flyers and Rick now back in coaching for the last several years. In Vegas in 24 in the final, the studio crew traveled with us, and then again this year. So you're right. Wayne loves, you know, it's like he's back in the locker room, just loves sitting around telling stories. He's so gracious and generous with his time. And then, by the way, we had Charles Barkley show up in Florida the last two nights. So he was part of the mix as well. He came in for the game. He came in for game six, and he joined a bunch of us at the hotel. And I have trouble keeping track of the days of the week, you know, during a series like that. So the series today, as we speak, is...
Today's a Friday.
Friday. So the series ended on Tuesday. So it was Monday night when Charles showed up in South Florida and spent some time with us, with the crew, with Wayne, with Henrik, with Eddie and Boosh and Panger right on down the line. And then he was at the game, as you guys know, on Tuesday, was between the benches in Boosh's spot during the pregame show, took part in the pregame, took part of the interview with Matthew Tkachuk. And Charles is so knowledgeable about it. He loves hockey. He watches so many games during the course of the season, and he can tell you what's going on. So when you add Charles to the mix, was certainly surreal to have that entire group together, and then you add a Charles Barkley into the mix.
Actually, so you tweaked me to something else there, Kenny, losing track of days, because – you know, back when I produced the final in 22 and in 51, it was every second day.
Babe Dye poster up on the wall?
Well, in fact, I think I have a Babe Dye sweater back here somewhere. it was every second day, or it was every day. But the extra off day between changes a rhythm for lots of people as well. You know, and in many ways, I think it was better for the players. I'm not sure it was better for any of us or the fans, but it was better for the players, in my opinion. So did the rhythm throw you off at all?
Well, first of all, some of those series back in the 20s, 30s, and 40s, due to other events in certain buildings, some of them were actually played in the same place, right?
The last time the Rangers win in 40 wasn't it all at Maple Leaf Gardens?
It might have been. I think in 50, you know, there was a circus involved and there were games maybe even at a neutral site. So because I know when we were checking the records on all the goals on the road that Marchand scored, he scored five at Edmonton in this series. There were some players who scored five on the road or more, you know, back in the day, back in the 20s, 30s, 40s. But they were like, they played like five road games in that series as opposed to two or three. So it was a little different back then. You know, as far as the extra travel days, I think it does help for everybody, players, coaches, media, when the distance is so far, between a Florida and an Edmonton, because, you know, for example, after game two, many of us took a red eye right after the game. The game went into double overtime. It was a 6 o'clock start in Edmonton. Many of us were on a red eye from Edmonton to Montreal at 1 a.m. and then connected to Miami. So we didn't get to the hotel until about 2 o'clock the next day. But the good thing was we did have that extra day to rest. And there were others, you know, whether media on the television crews who traveled the next day. And it takes all day. You have to connect somewhere, and there aren't that many flights between those cities. So a lot of folks didn't get in until 10, 11 o'clock at night, midnight. So they did have that extra day as far as rest or setting up at the arena. I thought it did have an effect. It seemed like it had an effect perhaps on the Oilers when there was only the one day between games 4 and 5. You know, that was the one time during the series you only had the one travel day. I just mentioned our travel after game 2. We were fortunate enough to be on charter flights after game 4 and after game 5 because that was a quick turnaround. You had the travel day and then the game the next day, and then you were back on the plane to Florida the next day. So that was a pretty quick stretch of two flights and a game within about 40 hours.
How do you do the team dinners? You can't do the team dinners when you have tight turnarounds.
Right. We did grab a quick dinner at the hotel after one of the games before the flight. So we did get a chance to have a team dinner at the Braven restaurant in Edmonton.
By the way, if we mention Braven, you don't get free food at Braven.
The Bolognese, by the way, and I was there during the bubble. So I was there for 37 days in 2020 and then the conference final in 22. The Bolognese there is off the charts.
I think every time Eddie's on, he talks about the Bolognese. I think Eddie talks about it all the time, too.
We've enjoyed many group meals there, and the Bolognese is unbelievable. By the way, in Florida, I don't want to leave out one of Eddie's favorites, Casa D'Angelo in Fort Lauderdale. And then several of us went to Prime 112 in South Beach, one of my favorites, two nights before Game 6. So we have to be fair. If we plug Sorrentino's and Braven in Edmonton, we have to mention Casa D'Angelo, Prime 112, and Tocado at the Conrad Hotel in Fort Lauderdale.
By the way, this is 100% hockey, not 100% Food Network. Okay, so
isn't food a big part of hockey? The NHL, the No Hunger League, right?
I will tell you right now, of all the things, like I don't travel near as much as I used to. I miss those dinners more than I miss the games. I'm, you know, that camaraderie, and I assume that in our small world, that's as close as we're going to get to as being in a dressing room. And sitting and talking and speaking philosophy or opinion, that's the part that I miss more than anything. So if somebody says to me, "Well, are you going to the final?" I say, "Well, we got to figure out where we're going to dinner first before I really worry about going to the game." So
totally agree. I mean, the dinners, the flights, as I mentioned, the two off days in Florida. Again, just to be a fly on the wall as part of those conversations out at the pool for a couple of hours with Wayne Gretzky, Brian Boucher, Darren Pang, Henrik Lundqvist, just so much fun. And you do remember those times, almost as much as the games because The stories are so great, the camaraderie, the time spent together. We have a group text chain with about 10 of us on there. So many of the names I just mentioned. And it continues even after the series. There were texts going back and forth yesterday. You know, a lot of joking around, kidding around about some of the stuff that happened during the last 2 weeks. So it's so fun and you know, so fortunate to be a part of that special group.
We should also mention Jackie Redmond, who I thought did a remarkable job on the ice.
Oh, absolutely.
For TNT after Game 6. I thought she was... she was brilliant at the questions she asked, how and the responses she was able to get out of everybody she talked to.
And Jackie was part of all those dinners and the lunches at the pool, and she did a tremendous job and always does. I think her interview 2 years ago with Paul Maurice after the Panthers lost to Vegas when we had the Cup final on TNT, that was a clinic from both of them, from Jackie and Paul Maurice. It might have been one of the best losing team interviews that I've ever seen in any sport. And young broadcasters, sideline reporters should go back and take a look and watch and study that interview because the job that both Jackie did and Paul Maurice did after he just lost the Stanley Cup final were tremendous. And she was outstanding throughout these playoffs. She was with us for many of the games in the first two rounds, the Carolina-Florida series, Stanley Cup final. And I agree, as far as her interviews after game six, you know, with so many people, you know, we have three of us during the game, myself, Eddie, and Bush, and then Jackie and Darren Pang. Pang are with us as well during the Cup Finals. So, you know, there's not as much time for the two of them to get in during the game because there are five of us. They'll do the coach interviews and a couple of other reports. But when they do, you know, outstanding work from both Jackie and Panger. And I agree, John, her interviews after the game were outstanding. As always, she's one of the best in the business. Now she goes back to the wrestling trail with WWE. But,
you know, I have a problem with that. I have a problem with that, but that's okay.
As far as the sideline reporters, you know, that I've worked with, she's certainly among the best that I've ever been around.
I love the team dinners, I'll be honest with you, but you're a confident guy. If you're hanging out with the pool with Henrik Lundqvist, I'm not doing that. I'm not putting myself through that.
Well, you could wear a robe, Darren.
Yeah.
You can sit and wear a robe.
I'll wear a skidoo suit and instead of a robe out there.
There were some comments about that subject while we were all together.
I got mesmerized by his hair again. I don't understand. I just got mesmerized. How does he get that flip the way he does? That's what I want to know.
He was on that red eye that I mentioned from Edmonton to Miami, Edmonton to Montreal.
Right.
And when we landed, there was not one hair out of place. It's just incredible. Everyone else, you know, people have hats on, the hair is all messed up. There was not one hair out of place when we got off that plane.
Panger had more hair out of place than Henrik did.
He did.
Yeah, which is impressive. Just on the Henrik part, he has been such a wonderful add to the studio crew. I didn't see this being as good as it was from Henrik's point of view this fast in his broadcasting career, but boy, can he ever articulate thoughts well and break down what is a difficult position to translate to the average fan.
Yeah, he's been great. You know, I had a big glimpse of it during his playing career, calling the Rangers games and spending a lot of time around Henrik in the locker room, interviewing him, listening to him speak, you know, watching, you know, the grace and class that he had throughout his entire career. And you're right, Darren. I'm not sure people necessarily expected him to go into broadcasting because he has so much going on in his life away from the ice, but he seems to have embraced it between his work, both on TNT and with MSG Network, doing pregame intermissions and post games on, I would say, about 25 to 30 Rangers games per season. Mm-hmm. He's such a smart guy, knows the game so well, and like you said, is able to articulate. And he's certainly off to a great start in his post-playing career. He also hosts a podcast. I was lucky enough to be a guest a couple of months ago. It's called Club 30, and he's had you know, people on from all walks of life as guests. Patrick Ewing was on recently, Steve Sciarippa from The Sopranos. He had Pete Davidson and Bill Murray together, believe it or not. So it's a fun, you know, he really does his homework and research. He has a partner, Jay Liddell, and between the two of them, they ask great questions. And it's out there on social media, on Instagram. If you get a chance to watch some of the past episodes, Henrik does a terrific job with the podcast as well.
You're not only in doing your own job, but you're a student of this business. Why does the TNT panel work so well?
You know, it's such a great team that the TNT executives put together, and it was modeled somewhat, I would think, after the basketball group. I put the Inside the NBA on TNT right up there with the NFL on Fox, and I might be a little biased because I work for both, but I think those are two of the, you know, most entertaining pregame shows of all time in the United States.
I think the TNT guys are better, Kenny, simply because there's less structure, and particularly post game. You know, if you listen to Shaq and Ernie and Ken and Kenny and Charles after the doubleheader on Thursday nights, they go on for another hour. And I'm not sure, and that lack of structure is one of their strengths. But there's you're right. What happens with the hockey crew is similar. But you know, like even when you talk about how Henrik contributes, there is something in that group that says that they do it so easily at times,
and they all get along so well. You have Liam McHugh, who's the traffic cop, does a terrific job, came over from NBC and did hockey there for about 10 years. And he's just so smooth in that hosting role. You have Biz, who you mentioned earlier, who over the last, you know, 5-6 years between the Spitting Chicklets podcast and now the TNT show, you know, how many thousands and thousands and maybe even millions of young hockey fans you know, has Biz sort of brought closer to the sport, you know, with his personality, on the Chicklets podcast. You know, they get incredible guests and do such great interviews. And then he translates, you know, that entertainment value over to the TNT show. And, then you have Anson Carter, who is a terrific pro and so knowledgeable about the sport. And then Wayne right from the start. I mean, to add Wayne Gretzky to the mix, even though he's not always there during the regular season, but is a constant throughout the playoffs, especially in the later mm-hmm. rounds. You know, it's like the old E.F. Hutton commercials. When Wayne Gretzky speaks, you listen. And then Henrik Lundqvist as well. We just talked about Henrik. In the early years, it was Rick Tocchet. And, you know, I think the dynamic between Wayne and Rick, they're such close friends. And I think Wayne sometimes likes being challenged. He doesn't want everybody around him to agree all the time. And Rick would go back at him with his opinions. And I thought that made for terrific television. And then some of the others that they've added into the mix as well, Colby Armstrong, Chris Chelios, Rick Bonus does a terrific job when he's in there. We saw Rick a lot during the early rounds in the playoffs, but they just have such a great chemistry together. They all love the game. And even when they're off the air, when we're at these dinners on these plane rides, they're talking about the game, the history, mm-hmm. You know, current players and coaches and who's going to leave as a free agent, who's getting traded. You know, they just love the sport, love talking hockey. And I think it shows, you know, when they're on the air. And can't give enough credit to the TNT folks who had the foresight to put that team together. And they've had a great run over the last 4 years.
Get both of you thoughts on this, but post game during the celebration and the presentation, the booth, the game crew brings in Wayne from the set and the Q&A. And I thought that was a fantastic ad, in a situation where you're filling, but you want to add to it. So you don't want to take away things. Where did that come from? And what did you think of it?
You know, we did that 2 years ago as well in Vegas.
I was busy during that time, so sorry.
Yeah, exactly. You're a little busy. I'm not sure.
Are you serving coffee at Tim's or something? Or what?
Our producer, Kevin Brown, may have been the one that came up with that idea. I know he was the one who brought it up again the other night prior to the game, that if the Panthers won, that we would bring Wayne on during the latter portion of the, you know, the cup handoffs, because early on, you know, you want to pay close attention to who's getting the cup next from Barkov. Yeah. And we talked about all of the first year players and what a great job the Panthers did in that sense. But then you bring in Wayne, and a guy that's won the cup 4 times, won the Conn Smythe Trophy twice, just to hear his thoughts. You know, it's kind of surreal that we're having a conversation with Wayne Gretzky as the Stanley Cup is being skated around the ice. And we were also, you know, able to kid with him that Reinhardt with the 7 goals in the final tied his record. He was the last back in 1985 to score 7 goals in a final. You know, he also
that talked was a about, five game that was a 5-game series in 85 right. too. Ken.
Yeah, exactly.
Did he, and knowing Wayne, he reminded you of that.
No, I mean he's so gracious. You know, just look at how he acted when Alex Ovechkin broke his record. Right, he was in the booth with us that day, and he actually said that was one of the best days of his life, believe it or not. Even though his record was broken, he was so happy to be there and to be a part of history. And he talked about the The symmetry, 31 years. Gordy mm-hmm. held the record. Wayne broke it. He held it for 31 years. So he just loves being around the game, around some of the special moments. And then he brought up Paul Reinhart, you know, when Sam Reinhart had the cup, and he referenced playing against Paul and what a terrific player he was.
Yeah, that was good.
Back in his junior days. And then I brought up the fact that, you know, now Sam Reinhart's in the record book, and Paul Reinhart's already in the Stanley Cup playoff record book. He's the only defenseman to ever have more than one hat trick in the postseason. So tried to tie it all together there with the Reinhart family. But no, having Wayne come on with us during the celebration was a lot of fun. And Darren, you were a little busy 2 years ago when he came on during the Golden Knights Cup celebration. So it was terrific to have him join us for a couple of minutes.
Let's take a break. We'll come back with more with Kenny Albert from TNT, as well as another big job that's going to occupy his time next year. We continue right after this on 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
So, yeah. Chill out for a couple of weeks. What do you do now that the big run is over?
I do. I have about a week and a half.
To basically do nothing.
Darren wants the summer off, Kenny. Darren wants the whole summer off.
I do have 6 or 7 baseball assignments with Fox, which I enjoy. Part of the deal with Fox. Obviously, I've done football for a long time. And baseball's fun, so I have 6 or 7 games over the course of the summer, but a lot of downtime. Get to catch up with the family. You know, it's crazy for the last 9 months or so. My younger daughter graduated from University of Wisconsin in May, so we did have 4 days together. I missed a game during the second round, so we'll have some great family time. I'm planning a couple of trips. And if I can give a plug to my older daughter, Amanda, who works for the National Hockey League in production. And she was part of the ASL broadcast during the Stanley Cup final. So she was working the cup final from New York, from the studio.
Oh, fantastic.
Associate director of the ASL sign language broadcast.
That's awesome.
You should be mad at the behind the scenes crew from the NHL, because when they did the behind the scenes from the TNT broadcast, it was 15 minutes long, and there were 14 minutes on the studio show and 1 minute on you and Eddie.
Yeah, but it was the first minute. So at least,
I was waiting for equal time. You know, I mean, it's funny how in our business, we tend to pay so much attention to what happens, not when the game is on, but what goes on in the intermissions or the pregame. And yet in the end, even if you look at the ratings, it's the game that matters.
John, I don't have a problem with it at all. I'm just saying. I think it's fine.
You're right about the part that in all sports, you know, even football, there's so much talk about the pregame shows, but the game rating is
the
a
game
lot
is the game is the game is the game, Kenny. Come on now.
But, you know, those pregame guys are pretty entertaining, and to have a look at the behind the scenes with them, I'm sure is a lot of fun. But there was a funny segment right at the start of that, as I'm sure you saw, with the sponsor name and Eddie's reaction. I won't give it away. I'll let the viewers take a look at it. But
it's on the NHL YouTube channel, folks.
Yeah, there was some fun moments there in the green room, in our green room prior to game. I think it was game two.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so now Darren alluded to just before we went to break that you've got a new challenge, and I find it hard to believe you have big shoes to fill, because you have filled shoes all your life, considering who your dad is. But you're going to replace Sam Rosen as the TV voice of the New York Rangers. First of all, how did that come about? And what's your expectation of yourself? Not necessarily what everybody, because you know the people at MSG Network. What's your expectation?
Well, first of all, it was great to see Sam and his wife, Jill, at game three. They showed up unannounced at our booth down in Florida. So we had the opportunity to spend some time with Sam and Jill prior to that game. He came in to visit with me and Eddie down in Florida. Very excited about it. Sam is one of the legends of the business. 40-year Hall of Fame career, one of the best to ever do it, Foster Hewitt Award. And a friend of mine, a good friend for the last 30-plus years. You know, as you guys know, I've been on the radio side with the Rangers and MSG since 1995. So have traveled on the plane sitting next to Sam for all those years and spent a lot of time together. Love doing the radio. Had three unbelievable partners in Sal Messina for 7 years, Brian Mullen for two, and Dave Maloney for the last 20. Wanted Sam to work forever. I mean, I would have loved if Sam worked 10 more years, but he decided this was the time, and the MSG Network folks approached and let me know about the situation with Sam. And I've done a lot of TV work for them as well, filling in on the Knicks side whenever Mike Breen had a national assignment. So I've been part of the MSG family now for 30 years and really looking forward to moving over to the TV side. Was looking forward to working once again with Joe Micheletti, our good mutual friend, who I've worked so many games with through the years on NBC, NHL games, Olympics. I've worked Ranger games with him, Westwood One Radio, and Joe made the decision to retire as well. And I think he should also be under consideration for the Foster Hewitt Award. What a tremendous career in hockey Joe has had, you know, playing for Herb Brooks in college, won a state championship in Minnesota in high school before that, played in the WHA, NHL, was an assistant coach in the NHL, 30-plus year broadcasting career. So kudos to Joe. Kudos to Sam on an unbelievable career and all the accolades that he received this year. Everywhere he went, the presents, the jerseys, the wine from so many of the other NHL teams.
I noticed he never shared any of the wine.
I think he shared some with John Cooper after the last game because Cooper,
I think you're
he had given him the gift down in Tampa, and then Sam brought it with him for that last game at MSG. He might have been the only one he shared it with. you know, it's funny. People have asked me about the schedule. Will your schedule change? Not really, because I've been doing the radio for the Rangers for 29 years, so it's the same games, right? So, you know, I'll still do the national work, the football, the TNT work. All of the networks are so gracious about the jigsaw puzzle of the schedule. Mike Breen on the basketball side with the Knicks does 45 to 50 games every year of the 70 that are on MSG, so it'll be a similar schedule to Mike. You know, we'll see how it all plays out. Depends on what days of the week the Rangers play, but really excited about it. During the last 50 years, there have only been two television voices of the Rangers, Jim Gordon and Sam Rosen. So quite an honor to now join that list.
Do you, I know we've talked about this before. Maybe it wasn't even on a podcast, but I'm still a radioaholic. I love radio. TV's great, but I love radio. If the dollar figure was the same, you know, you're going to make $6 for doing TV, you're going to make $6 for doing radio, and the same amount of people would watch, seven people would listen, you would do the radio game or the TV game?
That's a great question, because like you, I love radio. It just brings you back to the early days, the fundamentals. I started out in radio with the Baltimore Skipjacks of the American Hockey League, did some fill-in radio work with the Islanders, and for the last 29 years have done the radio for the Rangers, along with, for many of those years, the national TV work, whether it was Fox, NBC, and now TNT on the hockey side. So I've gone back and forth on both for most of my career, working in the NHL, but there is something about radio. You know, you have to describe everything. You're the play-by-play announcer. You're talking for most of the 60 minutes while the while the puck's in action. You do pause once in a while to let the color analysts come in. You have to give the score and the time a lot more. At times, you might feel like you're more into the game doing a radio call than a TV call. But, you know, there are also so many positives about the TV side as well. So it's a great question. If everything was equal, which one? You know, it would probably be tough to make that decision. But radio is so special. Dave Maloney, one of the best in the business. I've loved working with Dave for the last 20 years. Does such a tremendous job on the radio side. And it's been a great run. But moving on to the next chapter and can't wait to get started.
Yeah, radio, you have to say the score. And TV, you never say the score.
Right. I mean, I do once in a while on TV because I recognize that there are people who might have it on in the background and aren't necessarily watching and looking at the screen the entire time. So I'll give the score once in a while and the time on TV. But you're right, Darren, on radio, you have to give it a lot more frequently. I heard stories back in the day of radio announcers back in the 50s and 60s keeping an hourglass in front of them and turning.
Jim Robson had an hourglass.
Yeah, and every time the sand would get to the bottom, it's time to give the score and time once again.
That was he had a 3-minute hourglass.
There you go. So
it was a 3-minute glass.
3-minute glass, not an hourglass.
I would forget, honestly.
When I speak to young announcers in high school and college, I kind of stress the importance of starting out in radio because that's where you learn a lot about the fundamentals of being a play-by-play broadcaster.
It forces you to be good, and you don't. Absolutely. The other part is you're going to screw up. So better to screw up when all the lights and cameras aren't on you. And you can kind of wiggle your way out of some tight spots in radio because nobody can see.
And if you do, right. If you do say a wrong name, which does happen if you're on the radio, nobody knows the difference unless they're watching at the same time.
Yeah.
And you know, the other thing I found about radio, we become such a social media driven world, and any call you makes, you know, could wind up on social media forever. On radio, it's tougher for people to rewind. I guess you can if you're listening on an app. But if you're just listening on the radio, if you say something, that's it. It's over. No one can hit the DVR button and pull it back 10 seconds.
Yeah. How do you manage criticism?
You know, it's funny. We're all on social media, so you see it. You know, I had a laugh during the Carolina Florida series when people on both sides think you're rooting against their team. You know, which is not true. I mean, we're not rooting for or against any team when you're doing a national broadcast, but fans are so provincial, and I get it because I do local broadcasts with the Rangers and occasionally with the Knicks. People love their home team announcers, right? And when the playoffs come, after the first round on the TV side, it's only the national broadcast. So I get it. If you're Carolina, you love listening to Mike Maniscalco and Tripp Tracy for, you know, 70 or 75 games and then the first round. If you're Florida, you love listening to Steve Goldstein and Randy Moeller and Bill Lindsay for the entire regular season in the first round. And then the second round comes and they're gone. You still have your radio broadcasters, but on the TV side, it's the national announcers. So, you know, I remember hearing stories back in the day, reading about Al Michaels, Bob Costas, Joe Buck calling World Series, Super Bowls, and before emails, texts, social media, you know, they would get letters in the mail, 500 mm-hmm. from one side, 500 from the other side. We hate you. You hate our team. So as long as it's right down the middle, as long as you're getting complaints from both sides, you know, you're doing a pretty good job.
John, would you have to balance that a little bit consciously, whether your broadcast was leaning one way or the other?
I think you have to be conscious of it. You know, when you do national, that it's a different animal, and you also have to have really thick skin. You do, to Kenny's point, you have to feel that the people you're going to put on the air are doing it for the betterment of everyone. And they don't have one side. You know, in my day at Hockey Night, you know, we had Bob Cole and Harry Neal. So They were our best tandem in the broadcast booth. They were Hall of Famers. But if you had a Toronto-Ottawa series, you had to be prepared for a ton of criticism from Ottawa. You had to. And even criticism from the club. Because, you know, Harry was the regional guy for the Toronto Maple Leafs in addition to doing Saturday nights. But you had to manage that. And nobody managed it better than Harry Neal himself. Then you have to have faith in the people that do the jobs. So from that perspective, I'm like Kenny. We used to, every once in a while, and I've told this story before, this is before social media, people used to phone. And they would phone the network and say, I want to talk to somebody in charge of Hockey Night in Canada. And the phone ring, and I would tell the switchboard operators or anybody in the PR department, I say, put them through. And then when I'm complaining about the broadcast, and I would tell them that I was the executive producer of Hockey Night in Canada. What's your problem? And by the time the conversation ended, nobody had a problem.
Here's another thing, guys. So oftentimes, if the home team scores a big goal, right? So Draisaitl scores in overtime in game one. When I'm doing my call of the goal, the crowd's going crazy. So I have to, you know, I have to fight right. The crowd. So I sound really excited, and the Panther fans probably aren't happy with that. When Brad Marchand scores in double overtime in game two, you know, I'll try to be just as excited, but you're not fighting over the crowd. So you might not be as loud or as or sound as excited, even though you want to be 50-50 and equal for both teams. But there is a difference, right? If you're calling a goal for the home team where the crowd's crazy, as opposed to when the visiting team scores. So I try to be conscious about that and get just as excited when it's the visiting team, even though there's no crowd noise behind it. You know, getting back to John's point about Bob and Harry, you know, some of the all-time greats, Doc Emrick, he worked Stanley Cup finals when the New Jersey Devils won, and he was doing the local broadcast for the Devils,
sure.
But remained partial, had to remain neutral 50-50 during those broadcasts, even though the fans of the teams they beat might not think that. Eddie Olczyk was in the booth for NBC for three Chicago Blackhawks Stanley Cup championships. So he has to try to remain as neutral as possible, even though he's associated with the Blackhawks. I called game one of the final, filling in for Doc in 2014, Rangers and the Kings. And I was a Rangers broadcaster, but, you know, had to try to be neutral on that game. And I have to remind myself in those situations to get just as excited when the opponent scores as when the Rangers do, if it's a natural broadcast. So we've seen it through the years. Joe Buck, associated with the St. Louis Cardinals for such a long time, he's called Cardinals World Series games. So you have examples of it in all of the sports with some of the national announcers.
Does John text you during games?
Occasionally. Yeah. We always love hearing from John. He'll get in touch. We have some group chats with Eddie and Boosh. So I love hearing from John, whether it's during a game or any other time. But, you know, there's so many group texts now with friends in the business. So, and if we miss something in particular, I'm not saying that John has done this, but if we miss something, I'll take an idea from anybody, right? I don't want to miss anything. I'd rather have somebody suggest that we bring up something if perhaps we missed it during the broadcast.
I know John texts a lot of guys during games, so I just wondered how far he would go with it.
Well, it's funny. You know, some people feel sheepish about texting during games because they don't want to bother you, don't want to distract you. But I'm always looking at the phone.
Kenny, you got somebody in your ear all the time. What are you talking about? There's somebody talking to you all the time. So
your voice is 24/7.
Right. So you get to choose when to read the text.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm listening to the color analyst, to the producer, the director. Sure. I'm being passed notes, you know, from Ben Bulmer, our stats guy. I'll, you know, all comers, whoever wants to get in touch, I can multitask. In fact, you know, whether it's my family, kids, friends, sometimes they're amazed that I'm actually texting back during a game.
What do you do as a hobby? I've never asked you this.
I go on 100% hockey.
Good answer.
Good answer.
You play a little tennis, but
yeah, that's a good question.
Like unwind, you know, get away. What do you do?
I love just sitting out at the pool, whether it's on the road or at home. Love to read. So even if it's not work related, sports related, do a lot of reading.
What's on your Kindle today?
So I have a book. Alan Zweibel was a longtime writer for Saturday Night Live, and met him at a function here in New Jersey recently. We have some mutual friends, but I had never met Alan, and we met at an event. So his book is up next. I was actually carrying it around, the actual book, during the final, but never had a chance to start. So that's the next one. Really don't get a chance to read that many books from September through June because I have so much other reading to do for work. So I do try to read a couple over the course of the summer. But no, as far as the relaxation, Darren, we are planning a trip in a couple of weeks, a family trip. We have a few others down the line towards the end of the summer. So, you know, really try to spend family time in the summer, and whether it's, you know, at home or during some of our trips, because as you guys know, and you both lived and lived through it, you know, once the season starts, I have football in September, hockey starts up in October through June. It's really nonstop. So there's not a lot of time to do all the other stuff. And I also try to catch up with a lot of friends in the summer. I schedule a bunch of lunches and dinners because I just really can't do it during the course of the season very often.
Jam packed, never stops. Kenny, congratulations on the great season. Love catching up with you as well. And thanks for a great Stanley Cup final.
Thanks, guys. John, Darren, really love what you guys do. In fact, during the flight to game one of the Stanley Cup, listened to a couple of your podcasts that day. So that's how I spent a lot of my time as well, seriously. But you guys do a tremendous job. Love whenever we have the chance to chat in person or during one of these podcasts. So keep up the great work and enjoy the summer, and keep the text coming as well.
You think John should be nicer to me?
No, there's not a chance. So don't even ask the question. Don't even ask.
There you go. You know the answer.
Thanks, Kenny.
Thanks, guys.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
With a $5 meal deal with new McValue. You pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Prices and participation may vary. McDouble meal, $6 in some markets for a limited time only.
I feel like Kenny wakes up and just starts talking hockey or talking sports and just continues on throughout the day.
Yeah, his capacity to read statistics and research, I think, is better than any other broadcaster that I have ever seen.
And not force them, right?
No, but first of all, if you're a play-by-play guy, you have to have a great memory anyway. Yeah. You have to have a great memory. But then to ingest all that information and then know, as you say, to your point, when to use it appropriately. Because you can get you can inundate us with too much information, and then I sit at home and say, God, this guy won't stop talking. I'm exhausted. But Kenny has a really good take on when to use the information, and more importantly, we'll listen to Brian Boucher, we'll listen to Eddie Olczyk, and then be able to take the snippets of information he has and complement exactly what those two gentlemen say. He's done a phenomenal job. He really has. He's in many ways, there was a real worry that in the United States, how are we going to, you know, survive hockey on television on the national level without Mike Emmerich? Because Mike was the voice of hockey in the United States for, gosh, you know, 2.5 decades, really. Kenny's on the cusp of being that voice to replace Doc. And that, to me, is that's a tremendous compliment to the work ethic that Albert has.
I text Kenny during games.
I don't really care.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I like talking to him. He's fun. Part of me is too is to see how far the delay is on what I'm watching, to see when he texts back, because he'll text back while the play's going on, but my feed's behind, so it's kind of funny. Matt Duchene, should squeeze this in, gets a 4-year contract extension, $18 million total with the Dallas Stars.
Hometown discount for sure, when you think a point-a-game guy. But the other thing is that at his age, I was more surprised at term than I was dollars. 4 years, long time in this league, Darren. 4 years is a long time in this league. Now, Matt Duchene is still very effective, but I suspect that Matt took an extra year or two and a few less dollars in order to make sure that he got to a number that both he and the team were happy with. We should also mention the first guy that started the signings after the cup ended was Ryan Donato in Chicago, who we'd heard all along that he was going to get a three-year deal. And then finally, the Blackhawks signed him to a 4-year deal. So the question about the Duchene contract, and when you think about what Matt Duchene and how old he is, the one name that comes up is, how does that affect the John Tavares's number? Because when you think about role on the team, dollar figure, are Duchene and Tavares comparables? And is it more of a comparable for the hockey club or more of a comparable for the agent?
Well, it's for the hockey club.
Me too. I think Brad Treliving says, well, hold on now.
Yeah.
Matt Duchene's doing 4 times 4.5. You want what?
And well, Toronto doesn't want to get into a 4-year deal, though, do they?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah,
I think that would be silly. I mean, I'm one of those guys, you know, on the cusp, saying, I'm not sure. And I was talked out of this once last week about what do I want John Tavares at all? And somebody said,
him.
Yeah.
He's so productive.
Yeah.
You have to put him back in there.
But it has to be the right. It has to be the right dollar figure. It has to be the right term.
You're such a stickler for details.
Well, you know what? You got to be. General managers have to be hard asses. This is not a sport of sentimentality. At this time of year, that's why. That's why Bill Zito has been successful. That's why Kelly McCrimmon has been successful. You have to be a hard ass at this time of year.
Just emotion out of it. That's the way I phrase it. And Julian Brisebois is the same thing. Those are the three big guys for me. But it's also why the players like me more than you. Because I give them whatever they want, John. And you're just this me, detail, detail, detail. Hi, John. Love you, buddy.
You make it sound like I'm the guy that actually, you know, believes that this thing's going to work if you, you know, just stay to the plan, stick to the plan. You know, and by the way, most of the time for these clubs, I think most general managers are very practical. I really do. But then other people weigh in.
Wait a week and see how practical it is.
No, but listen, a lot of guys will say, I didn't want to sign this, but the owner wanted this guy bad. The owner wanted him.
I think that's spinning things from some of these managers.
I'm not so sure.
I think that they're just trying to, because they know they're getting heat from people. Like, hey, I didn't want the guy Moneybags over there wanted to. you're the guy that said you got to do your chores before you get your allowance.
I never said that to my kids once. I never said that. What? When you were up on the farm on the dirt floor? What was that?
Yeah, planks, plank floor over the dirt. We were rich. have a great weekend. Monday's a big one for us.
We are going to actually dip a toe into something we don't know very much about. Well, I don't. Is the draft, and we're going to have Sam Costantino on to talk about what's going on when we get together for 32 clubs at the National Hockey League draft in Los Angeles.
Can't wait. I'll see Sam there. I missed doing the draft. It was one of my greatest thrills. This is where you go, stop it. All right. Have a good weekend, everybody. Hope you enjoyed visiting with Kenny Albert on 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon. See ya, Shanny.
Stop it. Just stop it.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.